Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Start over. Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, with me as guest co-hosts are Lee and Ellen Wheeler. Now, besides being wonderful people, they are very active in the health and fitness community and have managed to balance their family and business life in a way that has helped them maintain great health and happiness for themselves and their family. So, of course, I thought they would be great co-hosts for our subject today. Now, as this is the day after Thanksgiving weekend, Lee, Ellen, before we bring on our guest, share with us a little about yourselves and what you are most thankful for.
Well, Alan, I'd like to just thank you for having us on the show this morning. You know, I was fortunate enough to meet my wife in high school. I was 18. She was 15. We've been married 35 years. We have 5 adult children, 2 grandchildren. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the years we've had as a couple and as a family. It's been wonderful.
And good morning, Alan. It's really great to be on your show. I really love what you're doing here. And yes, family. I'm so thankful for family. I love fitness. I'm passionate about fitness, many years in fitness. But, you know, Lee and I have had a lot of years together raising our 5 kids, and I'm very thankful that through the ups and downs and super busy lifestyle we've had, we were able to find ways to make our family time a priority. And I really believe that this is one of the reasons that Lee and I can say right now that we have great adult kids. I mean, they've really grown into such great human beings. And our family unit is really close, and we're not perfect, but there's a lot of love and support for one another.
Well, and I like that. I mean, none of us are perfect, but I think a lot of us would say that, I mean, that's our goal. That's part of our job as parents, is to raise children that are happy, healthy, and functional. They're out there taking on their own jobs, their own lives, and moving forward. Now, but I think that in this day and age, I think many of us struggle with finding the time to do the things that we truly want to do and still provide for our family. So what do you attribute your success at balancing the family and business life? Because I think so many of us struggle with that.
Yes. You know, part of our success has come from our trials and tribulations. As we tried to find a balance of providing for our family and having time together. You know, years ago, I managed a large fitness center. I worked 60 hours a week as an employee, but, you know, I was working hard for somebody else's dream. And so I decided that I wanted to open up my own fitness centers. And for 17 years, I was self-employed, you know, making more money, but working longer hours, having very little time for my wife, my kids, you know. And then 14 years ago, I was introduced to a home-based business that really intrigued me. You know, once I got the information, I saw that it was a residual-based income, not salary or wages. I saw a way that I could have my time and money together. You know, residual income is very smart, because you do work one time, and then you continue to get paid on that every month, month after month, year after year. It's kind of like royalties, Alan. It's, you know, it's like an actor or a singer. Mm-hmm. You know, they do a song or they do a show, and they continue to get paid on it as long as that's being shown or being played. You know, I knew this was the answer for us, you know, but I had one more big hurdle, and that was to let my wife know that I wanted to add one more thing into my already overloaded schedule.
Yeah, that was a hurdle. You know, I remember that day vividly when he came home, and, you know, we were so busy. My gosh, it was just, life was crazy. So busy, you don't even have a moment to think you're busy. And my first reaction when he came home that day, he was really excited, and I thought, what, you want to start a new business? I thought, you're crazy. And then I thought, no way, no way. But then, you know what, he actually explained to how residual income worked, And I actually got super excited and thought, you know what, this could really help our family in a big way. And I really was more concerned about him. I knew he needed to have more fun in life, you know, have a life. And, you know, it really has. It's changed everything. We put in some consistent part-time effort. And within about 2 years, our income grew and we decided to sell the fitness centers. And that's given us a lot of balance in our life, a lot more freedom to balance our family and business life. And I love that Lee and I get to do this together. And it's also really awesome that we can help other people to do the same thing and accomplish more balance in their life.
Yeah, yes. You know, we just kind of added a little bit more to our plate, you know, which was more at the time. But the end result was building a residual income that eventually would get our time back and, you know, not strap us to a job or to a business, you know, working 60 hours a week to just pay the bills.
Well, speaking of plates, I'm one of those that have been accused of spinning way too many pie plates.
Yes.
and for those millennials out there that don't know what that is, there used to be variety shows and there'd be a guy that would run up and down a table spinning pie plates and he'd go faster and faster and faster. And at some point in time, if you don't set them down, they all crash. So believe me, I really like how that sounds and the way in which you guys have achieved this. Now, again, we're going to be going into and talking to our guests pretty soon. I'd love to have you guys back on the show when we can do like a full 50 minutes to talk about that. So is that something that would work for you?
We'd love that.
Yes, we'd love it.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Okay, I will let my producer know and we'll get it all set up. And for everybody out there, if you go to the answersforthefamily.com site, you'll see we will put it down there. We'll put down that Lee and Ellen will be on and you can mark it on your calendar and gather a little more information.
Great.
Now, if they want to get information now, if they don't want to wait, you know, and they're like, no, wait a minute. I want to get some more information on this now. I don't want to wait till they're on there again. How is the best way that they can do that?
That'd be great. You know, if anybody listening would just like to get some brief information on what we're doing and how we freed up our schedule to have time and financial success together, just text the words more info to 714-465-0096, and we'll get back to you.
All right. And for those of you, if you're driving out there, don't try to write that down. We will put it on the website so that you can just go to the Answers for the Family website that you've probably been to before. We will put that number down there. You can still text and get more information. So now our topic is a bit of a controversial one. So our topic to the show today is also the name of our guest's new book, which is Do You Really Need That Pill? The Silent Epidemic. Our guest and many doctors and healthcare professionals agree a silent epidemic in the U.S. is now jeopardizing our health and threatening to bankrupt our healthcare system, and that is over-medication. Some statistics are that 1/5 of all adults took 3 or more prescription drugs in the past month. Now think about it. That's 1/5 of all adults in the United States. And even more so, 40% of people over 65 take 5 or more drugs daily. It's just incredible to me. But this book tackles the epidemic overuse of prescription drugs. Our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Jacobs, is a family practice physician specializing in integrative medicine. She is also a clinical assistant professor at the University of Washington's School of Public Health and Community Medicine. She received her MD degree from Wayne State University and her master's in public health from the University of Washington. Dr. Jacobs has served on the advisory board of the National Institutes of Health Office of Alternative Medicine. She co-founded the special interest group of the American Public Health Association on complementary and alternative health practices and has published numerous research studies in peer-reviewed medical journals such as Pediatrics, the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal, and the European Journal of Integrative Medicine. She has served on the editorial advisory boards of the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine and Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine, and she is also an advisory board member of the monthly magazine Natural Health. So with that said, Dr. Jacobs, welcome to Answers for the Family. And with all of that, we don't have her. Dr. Jacobs, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
There we go. All right. So with that introduction, t- tell us, I mean, let's kind of get right to the point in regards to what are the greatest dangers of our over-medicated society?
Well, there's several different ones. Of course, side effects of medications are a big problem. I was very disturbed to find out that there are 164,000 deaths each year from side effects of medicine. That's 450 people each day. 450 people each day die from adverse effects of drugs, and yet we're not hearing about this. So, you know, that's the number one.
Well, and I think
another.
What I was going to say is what we do hear about is, you know, we hear about the opiate crisis. You know, so they'll talk about the opiate crisis, but they talk about it in a manner in which they're referring to it as the illegal drugs. But, you know, share with us that for the most part, that's much bigger on the prescription drugs, isn't it?
Yes, the opioid epidemic is very sad, and many young lives are ruined by it, but 175 people die each day from opioid overdoses, but again, 450 a day from adverse effects of prescription drugs. So this is an epidemic that people aren't talking about, and it's something that I really feel is important for people to be aware of, and it's why I wrote my book.
Now, Jennifer, you've divided the book into two parts. Why did you do that, and what does the first part focus on?
Well, the first part focuses on all of the dangers of taking too many drugs. Like I said, the side effects, also drug interactions between drugs. It's often known what the interaction of one drug with another drug can be, but when you add three or four or five or eight drugs, no one really understands how all of those drugs could interact together. It's kind of a chemical cesspool in your body. But studies have shown that people that take five or more drugs have a 50-50 chance of having a drug interaction. And those drug interactions can be very severe. Other dangers are taking the wrong medicine. There's a lot of mistakes that are being made when drugs are prescribed in hospitals, in doctor's offices, in nursing homes. And then another, what I consider danger, is when people are prescribed drugs they don't really need. Drug companies are out to make money, obviously, and sometimes they bring up the idea of a new disease that isn't really a disease. An example of this is something called social anxiety, which all of us have at any point in time. Speaking to a large group of people, going to a party where we don't know people. But one of the drug companies started what they considered, what they were calling, a nonprofit organization, a Social Anxiety Awareness Institute, something like that, and actually advertised Social Anxiety Month and made it seem as though social anxiety was a huge problem, and then, of course, started advertising a drug for social anxiety that they made several billion dollars on. So there's a lot of unnecessary drugs being peddled, and often people, you know, are not really aware that they don't really need to take drugs for some of these things. Another one would be menstrual disorders like premenstrual syndrome, which they've made into a disease. So those are some of the things I'm concerned about.
It sounds like a very interesting business plan. You create a drug, and then you go out and create a need by creating a nonprofit organization that then says, this is a huge problem, and if you have this problem, we have the answer. Here's your drug. Interesting, the
exactly.
way they're approaching it.
There's actually a name for these kinds of organizations. Instead of grassroots, they're called AstroTurf. Because they're artificial.
I like that. you know, you mentioned about the way in which some drugs interact with each other. Can you give a couple of examples? Because there may be people listening that are taking multiple drugs and don't necessarily realize that one of the things that they're taking could have such an adverse effect by mixing it with another.
Yes. Well, for example, proton pump inhibitors, which many people take for acid reflux, can sometimes interact poorly with statin drugs. They will increase the risk of muscle damage, which statin drugs can cause muscle damage and muscle symptoms in 1 out of 5 people who take them. But this risk is increased with people who are also taking proton pump inhibitors. Also, antihistamines with blood pressure medicines can cause increased blood pressure and heart rate. There's a lot of different things, even herbs. For example, ginkgo biloba, which many people take to help them mentally, can interact badly with certain kinds of blood pressure medicines like diuretics. So there's a lot of interactions that are known, but again, there are ones that aren't known.
Now, you just mentioned statins, and I think that you have in your book, would you say that that's the most overprescribed drug out there?
I think so. It really is. That, along with the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors, the guidelines these days for people to take statins are such that virtually everyone over 65 years old would meet the criteria for having to take statin drugs. And yet cholesterol is only one of many factors that affect heart disease. One study showed that out of 500,000 people who had their first heart attack, this was done in the hospital, 72% of them had normal cholesterol. So all of the focus these days is on cholesterol and lowering cholesterol, which is something you can do with a pill, right? But other things that help to reduce your risk of heart disease, such as exercise, eating a good diet, relaxation, losing weight, stopping smoking, all of those things are just as important, if not more, to prevent heart disease. And yet all the medical profession focuses on is a number that, you know, if it's above a specific number, then you should take these drugs. I should also point out that the advisory panels that come up with the guidelines as to when someone reaches a certain drug level or blood pressure or cholesterol level to take the drugs, most of the people on those panels that make the guidelines receive funding from the drug companies who actually make those drugs. So as I've gone through my career, I've seen, for example, the cutoff for normal cholesterol go from 240 to 220 to 200, which means millions more people are supposed to take these drugs according to the guidelines. And yet, you know, people haven't changed that much. Same with blood pressure. New guidelines are reducing. They're now saying 130 over 80 is the point which people should be treated for blood pressure, which I think is ridiculous.
Right. You know, Jennifer, so much of that is so true. You know, there's a famous exercise physiologist. He said that if exercise was a pill, it'd be the most heavily prescribed medication you could take, you know.
Oh, that's great. Yes. That's great. I mean, I found in my research, and you'll see in my book, there's a lot of studies that I mention in the back of the book. Exercise is so important for so many diseases, you know, bringing them down, blood pressure, chronic pain, diabetes, all of those things can be helped just as much, if not more. Depression, even, they've shown that exercise is actually just as good, if not better, than antidepressant medications. And yet for many people, and for doctors too, it's easier to just prescribe a pill than it is to do the hard work of, you know, exercising and staying healthy.
Now, Ellen, I know that you have, you know, a location to where you still work with clients in regards to helping them exercise, be it Pilates or whatever. how are you seeing the difference from the standpoint of those that are setting up a proper exercise system in regards to how it is affecting, just as a doctor said, depression and other supposed diseases?
Wow. You know, I'm very passionate about all of this. And Jennifer, I'm so excited that you've written a book about this for awareness. And, you know, I do, Alan, I have a personal experience with some clients that when they start to implement proper exercise and diet, they feel so much better, you know. And the thing is, our mentality is we want that microwave mentality, pop a pill, to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just thinking, I personally had chronic fatigue when I turned 50, and I was really tired all the time. And, you know, I finally realized what it was. I call it sneaky sugar. I had a lot of sugar in my diet, mm-hmm. and it was wear and tear on me. And maybe I could have popped a pill for chronic fatigue, but I chose to change my diet, and it made a lot of difference, diet and exercise. So I just see great results. It's just, and people feel better. It's, you know, our body naturally craves this, you know. It's just a matter of overcoming that instantaneous mentality and really thinking about, do we really need that pill? No.
So
sugar really is insidious in our diet. I mean, if you look at the ingredients in many things, you'll be surprised at how much sugar there is. Even ketchup is full of sugar. And sugar, of course, is tied to obesity and diabetes and even heart disease. There have been many studies to show that increased carbohydrates, sugar, and other starches can cause increase in heart disease in populations.
Yeah, one of our guests a couple of years ago was the author of Sugar Crush, and he was able to pull up some information that back in the 30s, that the corn industry came to our government and said, we have something called corn fructose that is going to be the newest, greatest thing for sweeteners. And so the government supposedly ran some tests and so on. And the scientists said, don't do that. It's poison to people. And the story goes that the corn fructose industry, or the corn industry, which was huge then in the United States, said, well, you hired the wrong people. And they brought in their own experts that said that it's wonderful for people. It's great for people. It's better for them. And supposedly he found this information and that it was recently redacted. And I say recently, maybe within the last 10 years or something, it had all been redacted, but it had been sealed. All that information had been sealed in some government place somewhere, and it was recently brought out. And so he wrote this book on it saying, look, you know, we've been saying there's something wrong with this stuff. There was something wrong with it right from the beginning. It just appears that through some form of corruption, it got in anyway. So,
wow.
You know, there's so many people out there that their bodies are like a car. Their engine is blowing up. And what the medical industry does is they give them a pill to take care of a symptom. And so it's kind of like they cut the wire. The warning light goes off in your car because your engine's blowing up. So they cut the wire to the warning light. But your engine is still blowing up. You know, it's not doing anything to fix the problem.
Yep.
That's a great analogy. It kind of reminds me of another problem that I've seen, especially with some of my relatives, and that is that a drug is given for a particular problem, and it has a side effect, and that side effect is thought to be a new problem, and a new drug is given for that. And so on and so on. And so you're not really getting to the root of things, as you say. You're just covering them up with one drug after another until finally the side effects, the interactions, et cetera, you know, throw people into the hospital or worse.
Jennifer, you know, a few years back, I moved back to California with my husband and was taking care of my mom at some point, and she had about 12 different pills a day. And I kind of went, oh gosh, how did this happen? You know, how did she get onto 12 different pills? And at some point she didn't have good vision. So I was helping her put them in her little pill boxes, and I was just appalled. I thought, oh my gosh, but I didn't feel like I had enough knowledge at the time. You know, she was trusting her doctors, and I thought, oh my gosh. So, I mean, I just reiterate that I love what you're doing. You're putting some awareness out there.
Well, this is really the reason I wrote the book, or what got me started, was my mother-in-law, the same thing. She ended up in the hospital with kidney failure, and I was called in when she left the hospital, and she was on 13 different drugs. And I researched those drugs, and I found out that indeed interactions between three of them were probably what caused her kidney failure. And that got me started looking into the problem of overmedication and polypharmacy, which is another fancy word for it. And I became appalled, as Alan said at the beginning, that almost half of people over 65 take five or more drugs. 12% take 10 or more. And these are people who are older. I mean, the instructions that they might have to take them are very difficult to follow. One might be twice a day, one might be three times a day, one might be after meals, one before bedtime. I mean, how do people in this age group who are starting to have problems with memory and so forth keep up with taking all of these drugs at different times of day? I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster.
It can be a total disaster. You know, a number of years ago, 25 years ago, actually, I got diagnosed with scleroderma, which is an autoimmune disease that basically turns your skin, your organs to stone, and there's no cure for it. And they put me on four different drugs at the time. And it allowed me to move, but my, like I said, my engine was still blowing up. So I actually went on a program from this doctor that was more holistic. And within 6 months, Jennifer, of doing her program, no dairy, no meat, no sugar. I didn't cook any of my food. I actually drank tons of water. I was very, very healthy, no alcohol. And within 6 months, I got off every drug that they had me on, high doses of prednisone, Relafen, a couple other ones. And then 6 months after that, my rheumatologist calls me up and says, "Hey, where are you at?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing pretty good." And so I went in. He goes, "You need to get a blood test." So I went in. He gave me a blood test, and my blood was normal. And they wrote things about me that, you know, I was in remission, all this stuff. I had people calling me. I said, "Look, you just have to do the right things and get off the drugs." That's what I did.
That's wonderful. That's really a great story. I'm happy to hear that.
All right, we're going to take a break. We are talking with Dr. Jennifer Jacobs. The subject is, do I really need that pill? The silent epidemic. For those of you, if you want to follow along with us, you can go to the doctor's website. It is jenniferjacobsmd.com. If you're driving, don't try to write that down. Just go to our website at answersforthefamily.com. We will have it there. So again, follow along with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We are talking with Dr. Jennifer Jacobs. With me is also, we have Lee and Ellen Wheeler, and we are all talking about how we can stay happy, healthy, and engaged, and do so without medication. So Dr. Jacobs, we have some listener questions that have come in. So we have one here that reads, my mother became extremely anxious and depressed during the time my little brother was ill. The doctor said that that she had a heart condition, and she put her on, I'm going to spell it, propranolol. That sound about right? Anyway, it says that was 20 years ago, and there were many other pills that were added to address side effects that she was having, such as she was having stomach issues, she was having insomnia. It says, last year, my mother turned 35 years old, and after a complete battery of examinations, we were told that she did not have a heart condition at all, that she had never had a heart condition. We are all so very angry that it doesn't begin to express how we feel over how she has struggled and suffered from this incompetency. And this is from Valerie in Virginia that asks, you know, is this the type of thing that's happening?
Well, I think that's an extreme case, especially someone so young to be diagnosed with heart disease. But it's important for everybody to make a list of all the drugs they're taking and then look up on the internet the side effects that could happen. And then when they go to their doctor, they should talk to them about this and say, do I really need all of these drugs? Many doctors are open to working with patients to cut down on the number of drugs. But it sounds like this lady, you know, didn't really have that opportunity. It's too bad. There are many doctors now that specialize in integrative medicine, MDs, and then also naturopaths are very good at helping people sort out which medicines they need and which ones they don't, and helping people to replace medications with healthy lifestyle changes. And so I'm happy to know that this young woman no longer is diagnosed with heart disease, and I hope that she's not having to take so many drugs anymore.
Well, I mean, it brings up a good point, is that, I mean, how should someone talk to their doctor? I think many of us, you know, were raised that, you know, you don't question them. You know, that was kind of how, at least I was raised, you know, you don't question the doctor. But how should somebody talk to their doctor about taking too many medications? Or are you going to go to a different doctor? In other words, if you have one that keeps giving you these things, you know, do you question them and see if they're comfortable with weaning you off, or is it better to just find another one?
Well, I think the first thing to do is talk to your current provider. And I recommend that people bring this subject up at the beginning of their office visit, because unfortunately doctors are too busy these days and don't have time to sit and talk at length to people. So bringing it up at the beginning of the visit is very important. And then sometimes if you say to your doctor, well, look, my cholesterol is not that high. How about if I try stopping to take this drug for 6 months and go on a better diet and then check my cholesterol again to see if it is still okay without the drug? Yeah. And many doctors, as I said, can be open to this. But if you run into a doctor who's adamant that you have to take drugs and isn't interested in talking to you about cutting down on them, then yes, it's time to seek a different provider.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier in regards to exercise and things like that, but what are some of the other lifestyle changes, you know, that can help reduce someone's reliance on a lot of these drugs?
Well, diet, of course, is important. The Mediterranean diet has been found to be very helpful for all sorts of illnesses. It's, every week I see in medical journals and so forth, more and more evidence that the Mediterranean diet is good. Mediterranean diet is basically high in seafood, fresh fruits and vegetables, olive oil, and low on sugar, red meat, and things that are made from white flour. But they've been found that, you know, this diet can help people with diabetes, it can help people with depression, and even acid reflux has been shown to be helped by people taking the Mediterranean diet. The other thing, stopping smoking. Fortunately, that meant people don't smoke as much now as they did, but teenagers are starting to vape, which has a lot of nicotine in it, and smoking is another risk factor. There was one study done a few years ago that showed that 80% of heart disease could be prevented by healthy eating, exercise, and not smoking. So those are the main things. And the other thing is weight reduction. Of course, we do have an obesity epidemic, which goes hand in hand with the diet that people have been told to eat over the years, high carbohydrates, high sugar diets. One third of the U.S. adult population is obese, and this leads to diabetes, heart disease, all sorts of things. And so losing weight is hard to do. I know I have to watch myself all the time, but it's a huge factor in being healthy.
I totally agree with you. And over the years of being in the fitness industry, you know, it goes hand in hand with nutrition and diet. And so we've seen a lot of the different trendy diets come and go. And in fact, I was back in the 80s, I think I was one of the people that fell for the no-fat diet and ended up with a ton of processed food going into my body. Oh, I've got these no-fat bars and oh, this no-fat thing and this no-fat, and not even realizing that I need some good fat in my body. So, but anyway, when I had gotten that chronic fatigue a few years back, what I started doing, which really helped me and made a lot of change, was to make my own food. You know, processed food is a big problem, I think. And so, yes, it requires a change in your schedule because, you know, I was chopping up veggies a lot more and you know, making my own food. But, you know, I knew what was going into it. You know, I hate when I grab a box of something and look at a list of ingredients that's about 30 ingredients long. You know, I just don't trust it anymore. But by just doing that, like you said, the Mediterranean diet, the fresh food and vegetables and some good fats and all that has, it changes even your clear thinking, your mental clarity, your skin, I mean, and your weight. So yeah, I totally, and your energy.
That's an excellent point because I just read an essay actually by Dr. David Katz, who wrote the introduction to my book, about home cooking. And people just don't do home cooking anymore. And we've all come down from Thanksgiving where actually most people do cook from scratch. And it's more healthy. Processed foods have lots of chemicals in them. Takeout food, fast food, I read somewhere, especially in the younger generations, like under 40, something like half of their meals come from fast food, and those are just not healthy. And you're right, it takes more time to chop vegetables and cook from scratch, but it's so totally worth it in terms of how you feel and your weight loss and your health. It's just amazing how much better people can feel. It takes more time, but as you get older, you have children, you have grandchildren, you want to live to see them graduate from high school, your grandchildren, you want to be at their wedding. And so in order to do that, you have to live a healthy lifestyle. You have to eat well, you have to exercise. And yes, it's hard, but it's worth it for an extra 10 or 20 years of your lifespan.
That's right. You know, it takes more time, but it gives you more time. And my mother is a great example of that. She's going to be 94 in June. She lives on 2 acres in Texas. And she just basically eats healthy. She doesn't go out. She cooks her own food. She works out 6 days a week, you know, 3 days in the pool and 3 days with weights. And she drives cross country by herself. She has 20/20 vision. And she doesn't take any medication. And that's all to her lifestyle. Yeah, she's an amazing woman, I tell you. She puts people in the ground just walking next to them. She walks very fast.
That makes me think of how, you know, she's impacted us by, you know, her habits. We're watching her, you know, and that we can think of that for our own selves and our own families. You know, our habits, our good habits and our bad, our good habits can can rub off on our kids. And I see that with our kids. In fact, kind of a funny story. My husband and I used to eat ice cream here and there. And we raised our kids with fitness industry, and they're all pretty darn healthy. And so there was a time, I remember we were having ice cream, and one of our sons said, "Hey, should you guys really be eating that?" So the roles were reversed. But the other thing I saw is, you know, I started making all this food and all these salads all the time. And now almost every day my husband comes home and makes a massive salad with fresh vegetables. So you know what? I think all of that feeds on each other, all those good habits. And I love that.
I think that's a great point. And, you know, we create habits, and we can create good habits. We can create bad habits. And that's what we're showing our children. You know, we're showing them, we're modeling for them. And, you know, Doc.
But let me just interject one thing here and say that, you know, it's okay to eat ice cream now and then. It's okay to have French fries now and then. I mean, we're not asking people to become monks, you know, and always do everything right. There should be some wiggle room in there, I believe, for people to eat something that they really like now and then.
Yes.
All right. We have another listener question that has come in. And again, I want to take the time to thank the listeners. We get many people that contact us. Oftentimes there are teachers, in fact, that will say, you know, "I love your show, but it's right in the middle of the time in which I'm teaching, so I can't." So what they do is they subscribe through iTunes, which allows them to listen to the show later. But also, because they get a press release ahead of time, so you can subscribe on the website so that you'll get something ahead of time. They know who's going to be on, so they send the questions in ahead of time. So for everybody out there, if you're thinking of something, I wish I could have asked that question ahead of time and they'd answer it for me. There you go. Subscribe on the website. So this one reads, "A year ago, my doctor wanted me to go to a specialist and begin taking bone density medications, saying it was the only way to fix the problem. I did not like what I read about the drugs used for this condition, so I did my own research and decided to change my diet, start weight training, and take a special set of supplements that included magnesium, calcium, D3, and K2. And it says, a year later, the new test showed that my density is almost normal. I am so happy that your book is out there, as people need to know that there are other ways to fix conditions without drugs. I have my order in for the book and will be recommending it far and wide." And that's from Gloria in California.
Well, great for Gloria. She's done the hard work and she's had a great outcome. And yes, I do have a chapter on osteoporosis, and all of the things that she did are things that I recommend. The drugs that people are given for osteoporosis are another category that I think is often very unnecessary. There are a few people that are taking steroid drugs chronically, or who've had several broken bones, that may need to take these drugs. But the vast majority of women who take them can get just as much benefit from taking calcium supplements, from exercising. And in fact, there's many side effects to these osteoporosis drugs that are very troubling, including an increased risk of certain kinds of bone fractures. Mm-hmm. So it is a disease that has not really been even defined until the last 20 or 30 years. It's interesting, the DEXA scan, which was only invented in the 90s, was partially developed by the company that sell the osteoporosis drugs. And so people wouldn't even know they have that disease, which isn't really even a disease, because it's based upon comparing someone's bone density to a 30-year-old woman, and of course it's going to be lower. So I'm very happy to hear about someone who was able to stay off of those drugs, and I hope more people will follow that example.
Yeah, and I love success stories like that. And for many people that listen to the show that make comments, they send in, one of the things that they like is hearing the stories, and especially the success stories. So Jennifer, share with us one of your favorite success stories. I know you must have done a lot of research when you put together your book. Your book has many great stories in it as well. Share with us one of your favorites.
Yes, one of my favorite stories is about my uncle, East, who was 92 years old at the time. And he was very spry. He walked in his neighborhood every day. I spoke to him on the phone once a month or so, and he sounded fine. But when he went to his internist for his yearly physical, the internist had him do a memory test where he was supposed to subtract 7 from 100 sequentially. And apparently he didn't do very well on that. And so his internist decided to prescribe a new drug that was supposed to slow down memory loss and prevent a person from having Alzheimer's. Shortly after this, he started taking this drug, and then he became incontinent of urine. He started having trouble holding his urine, which was something he had never experienced before. And so at that point, his doctor started him on another drug for urinary incontinence, after which he started becoming confused and belligerent. And at that point, his doctor thought, well, he's really going downhill with Alzheimer's disease, and prescribed a fourth drug, which was an antipsychotic drug to help control his belligerent outbursts of anger. And at that point, my cousin, his daughter, called me, and she was frantic. She said, "What's going on with my father?" So I looked into all of the drugs he was taking, and I found out that the first drug, Aricept, had urinary incontinence as a side effect, and the drug for urinary incontinence had confusion and belligerence as a side effect, and the drug for that had the drug for the psychosis that he was supposedly having caused him to have Parkinson's symptoms. So I told my cousin to have him stop taking everything. I looked into it, and I found out it was okay to do this. And within 2 weeks, he was back to normal, walking in the neighborhood and so forth. So, I mean, I was just blown away that this happened to him. But I really worry that other people are experiencing something like this and don't have a doctor in the family or somebody who can sort it out.
And, you know, you brought up a good point when you said you checked it out. I mean, that's huge. And for everybody out there, this does not mean that if you're on some sort of drugs that you should just immediately stop. Okay, see a physician, see a natural medicine physician, a functional doctor, see somebody and get another opinion. So it doesn't mean stop everything. But it does mean that it's worth looking into it and trying to figure out what's really going on with you. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it really made me think that, you know, we got to make sure that we tell everybody,
don't want people stopping taking medicine without professional advice.
Exactly. We have another, and we've got just about a couple of minutes left. So just a quick one from a listener. This one says, "One of our all-star college athletes recently died from an opiate overdose. As his counselor, I had met with him a few times because of concerns about his grades, and I believe he was so afraid of being cut from the team that he hid the pain that he was in from all of us. We have learned that he was given a prescription from the team doctor, but they found unmarked bottles he obtained from other sources. Can you talk about this situation? This is George in Pennsylvania."
Well, again, this is a very sad situation, and one thing I did learn in my research was that around the turn of the 21st century, doctors were told that if they prescribed opiates for someone with pain, that they couldn't get addicted, that somehow the pain and having the pain relieved by the opiates wouldn't allow the person to become addicted. And of course, that was totally wrong. And people were prescribed way too many opiates, 30-day supply for someone who had wisdom teeth out that only really needed a week's worth. So it's a very sad situation, and hopefully people are getting a handle on it now.
Well, Jennifer, I really want to thank you. Time has flown by, but I really want to acknowledge you for taking the time to shine a light on a huge problem that we have out there. So again, for anybody out there, the book is Do You Really Need That Pill? The Silent Epidemic. You can go to any bookstore to get it, or you can go to Jennifer's website. Again, it's jenniferjacobsmd.com. Or go to the Answers for the Family website, and we will have all of Jennifer's information there for you. So again, Jennifer, thank you so much.
I'm really happy to be here, and I hope your listeners will get something out of our discussion.
All right. And so for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined by Gina LaRoche and Jennifer Cohen to discuss their new book, The 7 Laws of Enough: Cultivating a Life of Sustainable Abundance. And if you get a chance, visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or share it with a loved one. It's one of the many ways that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Lee, Ellen, I just really want to thank you for coming on. This is great. I look forward to you guys coming back. And for everybody out there, I just want you to know that I'm excited about the fact that they were here, and I'm excited to know that your company is, I think it's what, it's having an international event that's coming up this weekend. It's I think it's here in Los Angeles.
Yes,
is that correct?
Long Beach, California.
It's in Long Beach, California. So that's coming up. I think it's November 30th to December 4th. It's in Long Beach. So I'm impressed with it from what I've looked at, but I'm also impressed with what you guys have done with it and how you have, I mean, in this day and age, just staying married this long is a chore. So now, in regards to this event, so for everybody out there, I'm going to be attending myself. So if you want to get more information on it, you can put that information, put more information, and go to the 714-465-0096. If you go, I mean, let me know. I will see you there. And again, if you want any other information, because this is a very unique opportunity in a home-based business that allows you to spend time with your family and at the same time be able to provide for them in the way in which you feel comfortable with.
Yes.
So again, thank you. All right.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. And the engineer just pointed to me like, it's time. We've got to go. So now, if you want some medicine that's good for you and for the person that you're talking to, tell them how grateful you are to have them in your life. I know that I'm grateful for all of you for taking the time to listen to the show. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.